Skagway is rocked by a second landslide in under 2 weeks. And a second candidate files as a write-in for Skagway mayor. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. Early Tuesday morning, a rock slide crashed into Skagway's largest cruise ship dock. It was the second slide event in less than 2 weeks and caused a pair of cruise ships to divert to other ports. Some Skagway residents are calling on the city and the private company that owns the dock to take action. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
Retired fisherman Craig McCormick was sleeping in his charter boat in the Skagway Harbor when a sound woke him up at about 3 a.m. Tuesday.
I could hear and kind of feel the slide above the railroad dock coming down, and I kind of rolled over, and then it came down again. I don't know what time that was, 5:30-ish.
A steep cliff prone to slides neighbors the boat harbor and Skagway's biggest cruise ship dock.
The one later in the morning sounded like kind of like a waterfall.
More than an inch of rain fell in Skagway the day before the September 5th rockfall. This slide follows one on August 26th. As a safety precaution, White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad shut the dock down. White Pass is Skagway's largest tour company, and it owns the railroad dock. White Pass official Tyler Rose says the September 5th slide was bigger than the one in August.
Obviously thankful, you know, nobody's injured. You know, we're assessing the area, the damage.
Rose says the damage this time was a bit more extensive. A railing was damaged along with a water main. After the August slide, White Pass had a geotechnical engineer assess the site. Rose told KHNS at the time that the dock was deemed safe to continue accepting ships the next day. Rose declined to provide more information about the August engineer report or what the assessment entails. This time around, the city of Skagway will be conducting its own evaluation.
Well, it's something we need to look at in more detail.
Skagway Borough Manager Scott Hahn says he decided late last week to hire a geotechnical engineer to assess the area for the city. Initially, he was going to wait for direction from the assembly, but Hahn says he decided to go ahead and contract with PND engineers instead of waiting for the next assembly meeting. This second slide just happened to take place the same day the engineer was due to arrive in town.
We need to assess the risk to the dock and the public on the whole hillside. So, I'm just going to wait and see is what our engineers come up with and go with our best estimates.
Even though White Pass owns the railroad dock, Hahn says the cliff where the slides keep occurring is city land.
So why has it been White Pass that's been dealing with the landslides there?
I don't know how it was established that they do that. I don't know if it's their liability or our liability, but I'm looking at that issue as well.
The assembly is set to talk about the rock slides at its next meeting. This most recent slide happened at an inconvenient time for Skagway's tourism industry. The town had no dock space available after the railroad dock was closed, so two ships were diverted to other ports. The Celebrity Solstice sailed to Icy Strait, and the Star Princess went to Haines.
Our tour started like now, so they canceled them. So.
Jerry Seals is from North Carolina. He was on the Star Princess, which made the unexpected port call in Haines.
We had an excursion in Skagway, gold mining, dog sled. That's all been canceled. So.
Seals was one of dozens lined up to try to make it to Skagway on a fast ferry shuttle.
So whoever has reservations can just come up front.
But the economic toll of the ship diversion isn't the main thing worrying some Skagway residents. Many spoke out on Facebook Tuesday. They called on White Pass and the city to take action before a slide harms more than the cruise ship calendar. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Skagway now has a contested race for mayor. Roger Griffin filed as a write-in candidate Tuesday. He's running against incumbent Mark Schaefer. Griffin is retired from the U.S. Forest Service and now runs a marine repair business. This is not his first bid for public office. He challenged Schaefer in 2015 and lost. Griffin says his motivation for running is the same as it was a couple years ago, to oppose the Tidelands lease with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad.
At that time, of course, there was an up or down vote on whether or not the lease itself ought to go through. That itself isn't on the ballot this year, but there are people running for office and who want the lease to go through. Okay. And because they're running in that particular position, then I'm running in opposition to that.
Griffin says he supports establishing a port authority. So why file as a write-in candidate? Griffin says he wasn't sure he wanted to run at first. He says initially, he thought the Assembly in White Pass had been doing a good job with the most recent lease negotiations.
You know, open discussions, alternatives were proposed, being voted on, either up or down. I thought they were following a pretty good process. But that changed. And I think that with some of the people that are running for office now who would like to give away Skagway's waterfront, that open process is over with.
In 2016, Griffin lodged a citizen complaint against former Assemblyman Dan Henry. The complaint went to the Alaska Public Offices Commission. APOC staff investigated and concluded Henry provided incomplete information about his income on financial disclosure forms. The incomplete disclosures came to light after Henry pleaded guilty to federal tax charges. He was sentenced to a year in prison. Henry is seeking re-election to the Assembly this fall. There are two write-in candidates also in the running for two open Assembly seats. They're political newcomers Philip Clark and Dewey McCracken. The school board race garnered the most interest this election. Four candidates are competing for two open seats. The number of students attending the Skagway School is expected to hover around the same amount as last school year. Superintendent Josh Coffrin says the district started the year off with 124 students. That number is expected to drop after seasonal employees leave in the fall. Coffrin says the FY18 budget was built on an estimated 105 students, but now he expects to end up with around 110 to 115.
I feel really confident that we're going to stay above that 100 level, which is kind of the cliff financially for schools.
Enrollment surpassed 100 students at the Skagway School in 2015, leading to a significant increase in state funding. The boost in student numbers and subsequent funding allowed the school to hire new teachers and transition from multi-grade to single-grade elementary classrooms. The school continued to grow last year with 113 students enrolled. During the 2016 to 2017 school year, students at the Skagway School performed better than any other district in Alaska on a statewide standardized test. Results were released Friday. KHNS will have more on test results from Skagway, Haines, and Klukwan later this week. Southeast Native organizations are planning for the impacts of climate change. Representatives of the region's tribal governments will discuss that and other topics at their annual environmental conference September 5th through the 8th in Wrangell. Conference organizer Raymond Paddock is environmental coordinator for the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. He says the work starts with identifying tribal resources that have been or will be affected by warming temperatures.
And that look like cedar, berries, other things that tribes use in the forest. The other one being fish and how that's affecting streams. Another one being ocean acidification. And we also wrote harmful algal blooms in that as well.
Member tribes are already working together to monitor those blooms. Toxins from the algae accumulate when ingested by clams and crabs. Consumption by people or animals can lead to paralytic shellfish poisoning. But Paddock says the tribes want to do more than list climate change problems.
We hope after we could get this plan developed, we want to go after a mitigation plan. We don't know what that looks like just yet, but as we're moving forward, I think that's our next logical step.
He says money is tight. Tribal representatives are also taking up a new effort that could bring in more funding. Six tribes have come together to form the Southeast Alaska Tribal Conservation District. Paddock expects more to join under a U.S. Department of Agriculture program called the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Paddock says one possibility ties into regional food security efforts.
We can create greenhouses where we can grow vegetables and hopefully sell to our local grocery stores so we get fresh vegetables going. The funding opportunities there to make this a continuing project.
Paddock expects at least 50 to 60 people to attend the Tribal Environmental Conference. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.